The 11 o'clock hour of Willie and Tap begins now. I have been derelict in my duty of monitoring the YouTube commentary. So I will check in with the dwellers forthwith. But first, Jesse has compiled a myriad of text messages on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. A
lot of dwellers today, by the way. Some extra dwellers than we're used to seeing over there. Appreciate them all being on the show. I'm not going to read their comments, so I'm going to read the text from the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talking Text Line.
So you appreciate them, but not
really. Yeah, I appreciate them to a certain extent.
Some tiny font there, bro.
That's a good one, though, from Caitlin in Madison. The Packers dominated in every facet of the game.
Facet joint of the game. Come on, Jesse.
Sorry.
Caitlin.
Don't leave Caitlin hanging.
Thank you for your
reference.
Service. Well played. Yes. I'm sorry that Jesse just glossed over your zinger.
What a poo-pooer. The big poo-pooer.
This is a good text. I'm sorry, Caitlin. The Packers dominated in every facet joint of the game.
Jason, should she have put joint in parentheses there?
No, I saw it right away. I think this one's on Jesse.
Okay.
One thing I noticed, Caitlin writes, was that Love was in shotgun quite a bit, both with running and passing the ball. I'm curious how the offense continues to evolve with the mix of formations and hopefully not giving up some of the effectiveness of being under center to get Jacobs going.
I thought he was, Caitlin, I was actually surprised how much under center he was. He was under center more than I expected him to.
I agree.
He was certainly, I haven't gone back and looked at all the snaps, but he was definitely in shotgun more than he was under center. But he was under center more than I anticipated, which I think is, again, a good sign, because if there's one thing that Tausch and I were very critical of last season, it was how their play-action game was ruined, Jerry, by how often they were in shotgun and how often they ran duo run-blocking schemes for their stud running back, who was great last year, but their play-action was not.
Just was not utilized to the degree that I think we all, like, that's the secret sauce for Matt LaFleur. That's what he grew up on. That's what he likes doing. And you know, I think there's some attaboys because you also want to utilize the strengths of your players. Josh Jacobs loves duo running. That's what he likes. So
yeah,
mix and match and kind of sprinkle and sprinkle and do all that. Try to find that right balance. But I really thought yesterday, I did not think that they'd be under center as much. So, Caitlin, I appreciate it. I think it was great text. I think you're going to see more balance than we have as Jordan's thumb continues to heal, but I don't know. I didn't notice. I think I was pleasantly surprised, especially after hearing last week that he had still not handed off with his left hand. The fact that it looked as clean as it did yesterday, I think, is no snap issues. Good stuff. Good stuff.
I would agree. All right, Jesse, what else you got?
Got another text. This one's from Darcy in Fitchburg, who came out to Pizza Hut in Platteville to see Retro Tausch and LePe.
Well, that was fun.
Wondering your opinion on this take, writes Darcy. We all know J Love is a dude, but he has never struck me as a I want the spotlight guy. I think Micah Parsons taking the big spotlight takes some pressure off of Jordan. He can cook on offense without it being all on his shoulders. He seemed way more relaxed yesterday with, of course, the awesome play of the offensive line, Darcy in Fitchburg.
I think it's a great observation.
No doubt about it. I don't think there is any question. And all offseason I was saying you don't need to be Superman. And then obviously Micah Parsons comes, and I think that there is there's also going to be a we want to make sure we're holding up our end of the donkey.
Donkey.
You never want to be on a team where it's, oh, the offense scores, but boy, you know, can the defense hold up? Can they do its job? You're wanting to try and keep that part of your locker room as balanced as you can, too. You want both sides to feel like they're being super impactful. And then the special teams, we teams or whatever they call it,
we fence,
contributing what they do. Jordan Love, I think as he's going to continue, he's going to want to be a stud. He sure. wants to rip throws. He wants to make plays, and he's going to be able to. And I believe part of this is, you know, he made a couple of decisions yesterday. I think we all were like, come on now. But you're going to be able to make a few mistakes. And I don't think you need to play uber. You have to find the what you need to do to win that game. But I also think you want to go out and be aggressive. That's a tricky balance to have. But if this team is going to be led by its defense, which I believe it is, Jordan Love has to understand what kind of game he needs to have in order to do it. But he still needs to go and make a ton of throws. But there is no doubt, as an offense, if you feel like your defense isn't very good or the opposing offense is really good, you do put a lot of pressure on your unit to go out and feel like you have to play perfect. Yeah. Never want to be in that spot. And I think with this defense, you're not going to have to feel that way.
All right, so a couple of things that I want to touch on, and I want to go back to the two mistakes that Jordan did make. They were on successive plays, and neither one of them cost them, which is great. But to Darcy's point, not only do I think it takes the pressure off of him, you know, to be perfect or to not to have to try and play mistake-free football, because no one's going to be perfect. But I also think, Tausch, from Micah Parsons is a flamboyant personality. And, you know, if I was going to criticize Matt LaFleur for anything from the offseason, I don't think you can force Jordan Love to be a different type of leader than he's comfortable being. And when I say that, you know, in talking with his teammates, because that's, you know, what we try to do, because of that access that we have, his leadership style is effective. Now, it's different than Aaron Rodgers, but I think he's got guys in that locker room that really appreciate that he doesn't it is not him necessarily having to be the loudest voice and the smartest guy in the room all the time. He picks his spots. But he's not comfortable being that guy. He is a different personality than Aaron Rodgers. He's a different personality than Brett Favre. And I don't think it's an effective way to lead people by being someone you're not. So can he grow and be a little more of that guy from time to time? Sure. But I think the addition of Micah Parsons, you know, he's not a rah-rah guy. Like, he certainly, Jordan reacted to the touchdown. He's obviously very excited about that. But, like, you know, kind of the, hey, they called us a bunch of cream puffs guy in the huddle, let's go kill him. That's not him. That's not who he's going to be. So I think they add a guy who has that personality that also helps him in that way. Now, before we get to another text before trivia, so Jesse, pick one more good one. I don't understand, and I didn't get to ask Jordan about it after the game. We asked him a bunch of other questions, and he was clearly hyped up because he was talking like the guy in those old FedEx commercials. Like, I transcribed him, and he was saying words very, 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 very quickly. But the throw that almost gets picked by Anzalone, it almost looked like it was a no-look pass to Tucker Kraft. And I don't know if he was trying to throw the ball away and didn't throw it hard enough or what, but that could have been a problem because that could have been a pick six. And then the pick six that happens on the very next play, which was wiped out first by the defensive holding penalty, and then would have been, they would have still gotten the interception, but it would have been wiped out the touchdown because of the Aiden Hutchinson hit on Love. He did throw a pick. Like, it didn't count, and that's great. But to your point, I think it is going to be, this is where the 96 thing comes in, I do think it's going to be that this defense is good enough that they can absorb some of his interceptions, which they weren't able to do in some of the other games in the last 2 years. And to me, that's definitely the best value of these guys.
I agree. I think there's a you every player realizes there's going to be plays that are mistakes or that they don't go well. I don't care how good you are. Yeah. It's when you, and that's why these type of players, the Micah Parsons, they're erasers. They're big-time players, they can erase bad plays because they will make impact plays on the other end. So you're going to have bad plays. Are you going to have great plays? Are you going to have somebody that can overcome that? You need to – games aren't going to be perfect. You're going to have mistakes. There's going to be stuff that you have to clean up. When you have special players that make those plays in the moments that need to be made, that's when you have something special. And I know it's one game. But that is part of what Micah Parsons brings to this team, is that you just feel like if it's not a strack or setting up another player to strack, it could be I beat a guy so quick that you can jump a route. Those are the things that separate good teams from great teams.
Jesse, give us one.
But it's too early to say, but yesterday was a great performance.
It was, no doubt. Jesse, last one.
Charles in Brookfield, so many positives. Quay and Cooper dominating. D-line dominating. My only negative would be able to play Parsons a little bit more early on and less later on when we were giving him the majority of his playing time. He really didn't even need to be out there because they were winning by so much, says Charles.
Yeah, LaFleur admitted after the game that he played more snaps than he wanted him to. They were trying to administer the knockout blow before Tesla with his big touchdown catch, which was a really impressive catch, with 55 seconds left. And it got out of hand a little bit, and he was gassed. And so I thought he was really effective. I thought they managed his snaps really well, and he was really productive in those limited snaps early on. So I didn't have any issue with how they handled his playing time. He did play more than they wanted him to down the stretch.
Yeah, I didn't think he needed to play as much at the end. The game was Rhapsody USA.
Yep, I would agree.
But it also gave a great moment, got him on the stat sheet. So I understand it, but the game was Rhapsody. It was over.
Let's see if we can start the week with a Rhapsody of three straight correct trivia answers. Jesse, what's today's category and what caller would you like?
It is a Monday. It is time for the sports weekend recap, our first full football weekend of the calendar year.
And the caller?
Okay, they won by 14. They scored 27.
Caller 41.
Let's do 14.
Why did you bring 27?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I was debating whether to do 27 or 14. Let's do 14.
You had that great week last week. Yeah, off to a rough start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll get better.
Yeah, not great, bud. Caller 14 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 14 plays trivia after Tausch tells us about his love of Coors Light.
And whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, and you just need a moment to chill, crack open that Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and cold packaged. It is made to chill. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand after a big Packers victory, after a big Badgers victory, or after a Brewers three-game sweep. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Yar. Time for trivia. We'll play next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Jesse will have Whoa Nelly coming up in a couple of minutes, but first it's time for Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Cousin Subs.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Crispy chicken tenders are now available at Cousin Subs. Order today in-store at CousinSubs.com or with the Cousins app. Cousin Subs, we believe in better.
Love the Cousins app. Makes it very easy to order on the go. Let's play some trivia. Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Ace in Mount Horeb. Ace, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Jason Ader. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm fabulous. Thank you very much. Tausch is good, too. He's waving to you, unlike he did when he entered the field. Yeah.
Hey, Ace dog. What's good?
Ace and Ader. All right, question number one in Wilde and Tausch Trivia, the sports weekend recap, is this. And by the way, I saw our teammate and friend, Gary Ellerson, who told a story in the press box about scratching his cornea, and he was walking around with an eye patch during the week after that happened. He wasn't sure if he was going to be able to do the Spectrum Sports Roundtable with Dennis Krause, and I said, "Yar, you should have done it with the eye patch," which was fun. Speaking of which, Ace. Shiver me timbers! The Brewers played the Pirates this weekend. How many games did Milwaukee win in Pittsburgh in their three-game series? Was it one,
all three,
two, or all three, as Captain Tausch told you right before the segment began?
All three.
I'm glad you knew that already, because our boy told you if you didn't. All right, that's one for one for you, Ace. Question two. Which National Football League team scored the fewest points this weekend? Was it the Houston Texans, the New York Giants, or the Tennessee Titans?
That would be 6 points by Russell Wilson and the Giants.
That is correct. Tausch, I know you weren't interested in the Jets-Steelers game. Did you catch any of your good, close, personal friend Russell Wilson and his performance? Not great, Bob.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't, but I saw this morning pretty much every ESPN personality saying it's time for Jackson Dart.
So, Dame time? Dame time? Dart time?
I'm assuming it didn't go well for Russ.
It did not. All right, Ace.
A lot of checkdowns to Scataboo. That's what I saw yesterday.
Fun name, Scataboo.
Very fun name.
Physical. He's a physical old bear, too.
You should have seen him when Nate Hobbs was trying to tackle him. Question three, Ace, is this. Aaron Rodgers' first touchdown pass with the Steelers was caught by which Pittsburgh receiver? Was it Calvin Austin III, Ben Skoronic? Ben Skoronic?
Let's go with Skoronic.
Okay. Or was it Jackson Hawes?
Skoronic.
Skoritic. Well done.
Good one.
I thought that wasn't bad.
It's good. You're good. You're doing it.
Ace, a perfect three for three. Yeah,
you were the Jasonator. Pretty good little deal today for the Jasonator.
A perfect three for three. That means you got four entries into Friday's drawing if Jesse remembers to do it. Well done, sir. Appreciate you.
You guys are awesome. So are the Packers. You're looking awesome.
Not as awesome as we are, though. Pretty awesome. We appreciate the call and your trivia expertise. Yeah, Tauschinator.
Is this the most excited after one game you've had a fan base that you've covered about this Green Bay Packers football team in 30 years?
Really good question. I'm definitely not going to put it in the 30 years category.
What year was more? It wasn't 10.
So I would say that if you remember, you were a member of this team. You went out and didn't wave to people. You won the title in 2010. And then in 2011, there was the lockout.
Strike. Yeah, so it just wasn't.
and then and but then that you opened on in prime time against Drew Brees, who had gathered all of his teammates together for lockout practices, and Jordan and Aaron Rodgers didn't, and snarky A-Rod, after they put up a 42 burger, was saying we could have scored even more had we had those lockout practices. There was a lot of excitement after that. You guys were the reigning champs.
Like this.
There's a lot of there was
not like this.
Okay, I think you're a little palmy, but I think it's a different type of excitement. I think it's a different type of excitement because it's the defense. And to your point that you had made earlier, you know, this is a team that has not been led by its defense, and there's reason to be excited about what this crew could do this season defensively. So I think it's a different strain of excitement, and that maybe makes it more a greater one because it's not just about excitement about the offense.
Jesse, is this palming? Am I palming? Because I remember 96, and we're going to get over the hump. I think 96 in here, I think those are the only two equivocations from what we saw just off of excitement after. Yeah, I'm equivocating things. Okay. How excited, I just feel, I know this. In the 10 years that we've been doing this, this after this game, this is the most excited our fans have ever been. That I know, or I feel. Am I crazy?
No.
Thank you.
The Saints game after they won the Super Bowl for sure was a big one. The excitement going into the opener at Seattle, which ended up not going well.
Yeah, 2014.
There was a lot of hype going into that. And then some of those 49ers games coming out like to start. They played the 49ers was 2 years in a row to start the season.
They got cooked by them in 2012 and then ended the season by getting cooked by them.
Yeah.
And then started the 2013 season getting beat by them again.
So those were also like, you know, 3:25 kickoff, like a lot of hype going into them, but not living up to it. So there haven't been a lot of great week one wins over the years. This one definitely feels like
and
it's
a lot
top
of road
of the
games. In fairness,
yeah,
a lot of excitement.
Road games to start.
A lot of excitement after they got beat 38-3 by the Saints in Jacksonville to start the 21 season.
I mean,
no doubt.
Even thinking about like, okay, beating the Bears 10-3, like okay, like yeah. that was you know
You're
whatever.
Right.
Beating Jacksonville, like there wasn't much to that game. So there haven't been many.
Just telling you,
hype games that have lived up and the Packers have delivered in them.
Yeah, it just feels different, and I don't know if you guys see that. It does, and the Micah Parsons piece of this is what makes it different. That's how I feel, and I don't think I'm wrong on this. I am a palm guy sometimes. There's no doubt. I'll palm stuff now. I won't palm a basketball, but I'll palm. I don't think this is
Ken
palm.
Palm.
I don't think this is palm.
We will see if it sustains since, if you think people are excited now, wait till they beat the Commanders and they have two big time wins in 5 days. We will see if that comes to fruition on Thursday. What will come to fruition next on Wildy and Tausch is Woe Nelly. So stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I say go, baby, go, go, go.
Mike Silver of The Athletic has an interesting piece up. I don't know who his sources are or his or the accuracy of the information that he received. But Jesse, I don't want to usurp your valuable time for Woe Nelly. But I've now had three different people text this to me. The little tidbit from Mike's column. suggesting that at a board of directors meeting in early August with Parsons and the Cowboys in a standoff with negotiations, the prospect of trying to trade for the fifth-year edge rusher was discussed. Policy, according to multiple witnesses, was emphatic in favor of the move, viewing it in terms of if not now, when. The case was further bolstered when the executive vice president and director of football operations, Russ Ball, assured board members that the franchise could meet Parsons' contract demands. And now this is the quote that Mike has. And this is why I wanted to bring this up. "It was clear that this is a new era," said one Packers front office official. "There had been moves that weren't made in the past, like trying to get Khalil Mack. Mark Murphy wanted to do it, but the board was against it, and he didn't want to force it on them. This time there was talk about not taking the fans for granted, even though we have those all those years of sellouts and the long waiting list. It was a really good discussion." I guess my question for you, Tausch, is I can see all the Ed Policy stuff. Remember, his dad, Carmen Policy, was with the 49ers. They essentially fired Bill Walsh. They also were pursuing Reggie White when he chose the Packers. So I don't think – I have no problem with that. My question is, do they have to get the board of directors on board for personnel moves like this? That's the first time I've heard the board mentioned in a very long time, and my understanding had been – that was not the case. So if that's true, I am super curious about what that might mean in a not as good way.
This is a Wildy dig in a little bit.
I have already begun.
No. That's more from a let's buy this land, let's develop this. Do we think this guy's doing a good job? I can't imagine anyone in those positions wanting to, I don't dig in a little bit. I don't want to say stuff that I, we don't know.
I don't look again. I don't, I mean, he's quoting.
It's
somebody.
Very
obviously talked to somebody.
It's very interesting.
It is interesting. There's definitely some digging to be done there. In the meantime, before I start picking up my shovel, it's time for Jesse to pick up the show with Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
The Wisconsin Badgers were 42-10 winners on Saturday afternoon over Middle Tennessee State. Why does everybody suddenly want to fire Luke Fickell? They won 42-10. Why is there all this pan? Everything I'm scrolling through on Twitter and everywhere.
Doom scrolling.
I think we need to have a conversation about Luke Fickell. This is what Mr. Rational.
Pablo's birthday again?
This is what Mr. Rational told you not to do, which was overreact to the first half of Middle Tennessee and think that it's doomsday in Madison.
You didn't tell us not to overreact to the first half.
I said don't.
No,
I did. I said I did too. I said don't do every play, every drive, every half.
Anybody else notice that Jesse's tune has changed since he's been hosting the show with Barry Alvarez?
I also noticed that the Badgers are not favored in Tuscaloosa.
They are not. We'll get to that. And we'll get to that tonight on the Barry Alvarez Show at 6 o'clock on ESPN Madison.
So, Jesse,
and the YouTube channel.
So we were engaged in a text chain during the game. I'm sure Tausch appreciated us including him on that while he was trying to call the game. So I apologize if we were a distraction to you and Matt LePay.
Do you want us to not text you during games? Should we
no,
know that?
No, I don't
that?
Care. I don't have my phone. I'll look at it during breaks. I'm not like looking at it while we're calling the game.
I didn't. Just wanted to make sure we were.
And if you guys have good observations, it'd be nice if you'd give me good observations and not I don't even know what you guys did.
I mean, let's be honest, and I think the color analyst for the Badgers Radio Network can be honest about this. They gave Middle Tennessee State a first down, and then they re-looked at it, and they realized that they had misplaced the ball. And so then they have to face a fourth down after that, and then the Badgers get a huge stop, and everything changes there. But I don't think, and as Jesse was the one who pointed this out, that in the only ranking that they do of all 136 teams, that Middle Tennessee State was 136th. They lost to a FCS school the previous week.
Austin
and the
P.
fact that we were at a pivotal point in that game where if they were in position, they pick up the first down or they don't correct the first down call that they had made. They could go in and score. They've got the lead, and I don't know if they still win going away the way the Badgers did. I thought the final score was a bit of a misleading final score, but this idea that people are so exasperated with Fickell that they would say these types of things is preposterous. They did not blow them out like Minnesota did to whoever they had, Northwestern State, at home at the same time. I get it. But my goodness, a win is still a win, and they need every win they can get this season.
Agree with you on winning is winning. But to sit here and say that it was an impressive performance, the first half and some change, they came out and drove the football, and that play. And you could talk to Coach Alvarez tonight about this. The pendulum swung when Allegro came in and stuffed him.
Yes.
The ref made the correct call. As a matter of fact, on the broadcast, I was like, I can't stand these refs. I'm so sick of these line judges just running up. Bring it. And because it felt like he was about a half yard short from up here, from where
we were
watching.
Right.
Like, can we – we got to be better than that. But I digress. We need to be better on the offensive side of the football and running the football. That was not a good football team that we played. Middle Tennessee is not a good football team. They looked a lot better than I wanted to see them look.
Well said.
And I'm going to tell you this. The trekking down to Tuscaloosa, we're going to need to be a lot better going down there than what we played, especially in that first half on Saturday. That I know.
Well said.
Whoa, Nelly!
More Badgers conversation tonight on the Barry Alvarez Show at 6 o'clock on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel and on 100.5 ESPN.
With host Jesse Nelson.
Oh, yeah, I do host that show.
Whoa, Nelly!
So if you're only on YouTube, that means Tark and Derek can swear all the time, right?
We are not only on YouTube tonight, but in those instances,
oh, I thought you said only
yes.
YouTube.
They're good for about one a week regardless. We just have to dump them when we're on the radio. When we're not on the radio, we can let it fly. Yeah, that's about how that works.
All right.
Did you watch that Bills-Ravens game last night? Because holy smokes, was that a fun football game. 41-40, Scoregami. First time in NFL history.
That's a Scoregami?
It was, yeah, 41-40.
Seems weird.
Never had a game end 41-40 before in NFL history until last night. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen put on a show. People were oogling over how good they were as quarterbacks.
Oogling.
I was told that Pittsburgh Jets game was must watch.
Well, the Pittsburgh Jets game was good too.
Would you stop? Just
what?
Stop
no,
over
just
there.
That?
Johnny what? No Wave. Enough.
What?
It was a really entertaining
game. You can critique others,
so
I can't critique you.
In the early window, it was an you poo-pooed that game. And again,
just take it. No,
you did. Go back and listen to the tape. You had no interest in Aaron Rodgers.
Compared to Baltimore, and Buffalo, I absolutely poo-pooed it.
Check the tape.
Oh, I did.
Check the tape.
I'm agreeing with you. We don't have to check the tape. I'm agreeing with you. Why do you have to check the tape? I'm saying compared to Baltimore and Buffalo, it was a no-brainer.
They weren't on simultaneously. All right. Never.
You got to pick one. Do you not understand? Pick one.
I don't ever just pick one.
Well, actually,
like
you don't because you hedge on everything.
He doesn't.
So, yeah,
yeah.
That's fair.
We'll wrap things up next.
Maybe we can, Jesse, maybe we got to scrap that. We can't do pick one anymore. You can't do it.
You pick two, like at Panera, which doesn't
pick
have
a
ice
half
cream.
And, yeah, grab a soup and then grab a sandwich.
The Noah's Ark of weekend previews this week.
That's not bad.
Good gazelles on there.
Will there be
gazelles?
Oh, you beat me. Dang it. Yeah. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see the time. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see the time. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You got to make me change.
Quick turnaround for the Packers. No media availability today, so we will not be talking to Matt LaFleur. We will talk to him tomorrow. And then Wednesday, they'll have a walkthrough. And then Thursday, they're playing again. We will see how that plays out. Tausch, any parting thoughts other than the critique of your announcement at Lambeau Field?
Yeah, be excited. This is going to be a really good football team. And you know, there's going to be some hiccups along the way. But, man, I just – you can't picture a better start to a season than what we saw yesterday. Just can't.
Yeah. You definitely can't. All right, that's it for us today. We will be back tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Enjoy your Victory Monday. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.